So we reached the series finale for Burn the Ships, and so hopefully you enjoyed watching that ship blow up every week, right? The whole idea of leave the past, burn the ships, move forward to what God has in store for you. And that's been all based on this story by Hernan Cortez, the explorer who gets to Mexico, and nobody wants to go exploring. Everyone wants to stay in the ship because we know the ship. The ship's comfortable, the ship's safe. And so in order to get any of the guys to move forward on land and being exploring, he gives the orders to burn the ships, and they actually start exploring. And so we've looked at all sorts of different things, but really, this has been the big question. Probably you're sick of this question, which is good that we're ending today. And the whole thing is, what are you holding on to that's holding you back? And it's our jar, our lovely example. So when we grip it, we can't let go. We just kind of drag this with us. And so the question is, what is this? What is this you are holding on to that is holding you back? That's been our question. That's what we've asked you to think about, and that's what we've asked God to really kind of impress upon us and help us figure it out. Because we said sometimes this is sin. This is things that you know, God tells us are wrong or destroying your life, yet we keep doing them. And so sometimes it's sin. Sometimes we said this could even be a good thing. It's just totally the wrong time of year. It's the wrong season of your life for this. And so you need to let go because it's really just holding you back. Sometimes these are bad relationships. These can be all sorts of things, but we're holding on to something that's actually holding us back. So 2 weeks ago, the last time we gathered together, it was all about that God has something new in store for us. And we will never know what that new is as long as we are holding on. We will never understand it. We'll never embrace it. And the new can be scary. I mean, after all, as bad as this is, dragging this around, what you're holding on to that's holding you back, at least you know what this is. Okay, at least you know what this is. So if this is the job that, you know, you come home every night and your spouse is like, could you just please quit, please? You know, you're just miserable, you're awful. And you're like, yeah, but what else is out there? I don't know what else is out there, so I'll stick with this. And so often we stick with this because we are so uncertain and we are scared about the new that God has in store for us. So I'm going to wrap up this morning by helping us understand what do we do with our past. Okay, so let's just say, for example, you realize or you've known a time during your life where you held on to something that was holding you back. And let's say you did this for a year, okay? You dragged this thing around for a year, and you knew you shouldn't, and you knew it should have been different. And finally, a year later, you let go, and you move forward, and you're into the new now, and then you have those moments where you look back. I don't know what it's like for you when you look back. When you look back on the times in your life where you held on to what you shouldn't have held on to, and they were kind of foolish decisions, okay? I'm just gonna be a little transparent. I tend not to be very pleased with myself for that. You idiot, you're so stupid. Why did you do that? And why did you hold on for so long onto that, okay? Maybe I shouldn't use those words. Okay, I'm just being honest, that's what I think of myself doing that. When I hold on to something that's holding me back and move forward and then look back at that time, I tend to be incredibly critical of myself, incredibly hard on myself because I'm like, oh my goodness, you waste so much time here and you missed out on what God had in store for you. But isn't it true? We just waste time here. So what do we do with the wasted time? That's my question this morning. What do we do with this wasted time that we end up accumulating? Okay? So I think there's a couple choices we can make. First thing you can do is ignore it. Nope, we will never talk about this, okay? So some of you, there's a section of your life, nope, never talk about it, okay? We never bring it up, okay? Your kids think you're 10 years younger than you really are because there's 10 years you don't talk about, okay? Like, really? Yeah, there's whole 10-year sections you just thrown out and you just try to ignore it, okay? We just ignore it, never speak of it, never bring it up. In fact, you make sure that you don't go to certain family events because they'll bring this up. And you're like, I ain't going there, they're gonna bring this up. And we're not talking about this anymore. So there's part of us that wants to ignore the times in our life we held on to things that were holding us back. Sometimes we just want to bury it, okay? How deep can we bury it so it never comes up? And, you know, isn't it true? Buried things just end up coming up, okay? They end up resurfacing at some point. And you can bury it and you can try to make sure nobody knows about it, but I'm just telling you, it comes up. So I think those are two bad choices. To just ignore it or to bury it. I think there's a better choice. And that's what I want to introduce you today if you've never heard of this word. And that is to redeem it. That God can actually do something with this time. This time, you were holding on to something that was holding you back. God can actually do something with this time. That's how incredible God is, and you're going to get this today, okay? And if you just needed a moment where you were reminded how incredible God is, today's going to be that day because of what he does with this time that we end up wasting holding on to things that are holding us back. Simply redeem means, if you want a very, very simple definition, is to give something worthless value, okay? We would look at this and say, this is worthless. This was stupid. I can't believe I did this. We would call this worthless. All this time that we held on to things that were holding us back, we would tend to call that worthless, okay? And so God can give this value. And to give something worthless value means to redeem it, okay? We live in a state that has redemption when it comes to pop cans, okay? Have you ever been in a state that doesn't? These cans are everywhere, okay? They're on the side of the road. They're literally all over the place, okay? Why? Because they're worthless. They're worthless. In that state, those cans are worthless. Now, in Iowa, isn't this true? Those cans are worth something. In fact, they are worth so much, it's the reason some of you have gone to camp for the last 5 to 10 years, right? That's how much they're worth. That's how much they're worth. They're worth so much that you're able to have pizza on Wednesday nights, okay? That's how much they're worth because there's value there. So our state gives something that other states call worthless, they give it value. And so we have redemption centers. You bring that back and you get money for that. It is to redeem. It is just to give something that is worthless and to give it value. That's what God's going to do. And that's what I want you to see today, that God is going to give what we would call worthless, what we would call wasted time, what we would call time that we wish we could, you know, hit the rewind button and go back and not make that choice or let go sooner. It is what God does with it that is absolutely amazing. So to do that, we're going to look at Moses. So you only have to go to the second book in the Bible today. Very simple, okay? Go to Exodus. You can get on the Bible app, okay? You can get on the Bible app, and I encourage you to stay on the Bible app, okay? And follow along with us as we go through that. So Moses' story is fascinating, okay? And all depends how old you are. When you think of Moses, you either think of Charlton Heston, or you think of the Prince of Egypt, okay? So it's either one or the other, okay? That's the two timetables in which we find Moses. So Moses, fascinating, okay? You got to read the first chapters of Exodus because they're amazing. Moses should have been killed at birth, okay? Never should have been alive because you might have heard of China's one kid policy that they put into place. Well, Egypt, because the Jewish people were getting so big, they put in a one son policy. Okay? And after son number one, son number two, three, whatever, they all died. Okay? That was their policy to try to control the population that was taking place with the growth of the Hebrews. They were trying to slow it down, trying to stop it. And so Moses' family consists of a sister named Miriam, a brother named Aaron. He was son number two. He should have died. Okay? And in fact, Exodus chapter 1 tells that two of the midwives who were in charge of making sure they did this refused to kill these babies and that God protected them and saved them. So this is just a remarkable story. So Moses shouldn't even be alive, but he gets saved by Pharaoh's daughter and he actually grows up in Pharaoh's house, thus the Prince of Egypt, okay? That he gets this seat of power, that he is going to have this incredible opportunity of power because of where he was placed and who kind of saved him from the death that should have occurred to him, okay? So I'm only going to give you a couple sections of Moses' life. The first one, Moses is about 40 years old because Moses' life is kind of broken up into thirds, okay? There's birth to 40, there's 40 to 80, there's 80 to 120. Okay, Stephen, when he speaks in Acts chapter 7, helps us and breaks this kind of breaks this up for us, so we know that there's these thirds in his life, okay? So this is age 40. This is Moses at age 40 when this stirring starts happening to him that he is knows he's part of the Jews, and he doesn't like what's going on, and he's really not certain what to do about it. So here God is beginning to stir him and creating him. Moses, I got a great plan for you. And he begins to sense this, and you need to see what happens, okay? So Moses, many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews. And he saw how hard they were forced to work. That's what the Egyptians did to them. They enslaved them in order to kind of control them because they were afraid they were just going to ultimately take them over. Okay? So Moses decides to go visit them. Okay? And during his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. After looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid the body in the sands. Okay? So Moses takes this stirring that I need to help my people. I need to do something about it. And he takes it totally the wrong way and sees this situation, ends up killing the Egyptian, kind of looking around. Nobody's watching me. Kills him, buries him in the sand. Okay? The next day, because he thinks nobody saw him, nobody knows what happened. And I don't know if he just thought, I guess I'll do this one by one till we free everybody. But he just didn't know what to do, I think, with this stirring that God was calling him to lead his people out. So the next day when Moses went out to visit his people, he saw two Hebrew men fighting. And he's like, what are you doing? Why are you beating up your friends? Moses said to the one who had started the fight. And the man replied, who appointed you to be our prince and judge? Are you going to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday? Then Moses was afraid, thinking everyone knows what I did. Wait a minute, he looked every direction, right? Well, he missed something. He missed some direction because they saw what he did, and now he's going to be scared. And sure enough, Pharaoh heard what happened, and he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in the land of Midian. And he lives there for 40 years, okay? So his time that he might like to get back is 40 years that this stirring of helping my people and leading my people that he just totally goes wrong on, now it's 40 years. 40 years that he is away from this purpose and this plan that God has for him. Now, I hope our time doing this is not 40 years. It's a long time, okay, to be dragging something around and to be not carrying out everything God has for us. But for 40 years, there's Moses in the wilderness taking care of sheep, and that's where he's at. Now, I imagine Moses thinking, what? It's over. Any type of stirring that God was going to use him, that God was going to do something in him, it's over. God can't use murderers, right? My sin will always hold me back. I think those are all things Moses thought when he left and thought he's never coming back. This stirring of I'm going to lead, God has this plan for me, and we're going to set the people free, was just like, it's never going to happen. And he goes out for 40 years. And 40 years later, something incredible takes place in Exodus chapter 3. When one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. That'll come up later. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. And Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flame, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go and see it. And so he goes and he sees it. And when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses, here I am. Moses replied, now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. Okay? So after 40 years, God shows up in a remarkable way, because that's probably the only way he's going to get his attention. and get him thinking. And he shows up, and Moses, remember the plan? Remember that stirring? I have something in store for you. I've been planning it all along, and now is the time for you to go and lead my people out of Israel. Now is the time. So 40 years old when he leaves Egypt, 80 years old at the burning bush. That 40-year spans. Okay? Here's what I want you to know. That those 40 years were not wasted. Most of us believe they do, because in our Bibles, right, in the text, we go from one spot to another, and then, right, he goes to this whole thing where, I don't know if I can go talk to Pharaoh, and all this stuff, and then he goes, and there's all the plagues, and the people get free, right? So we tend to just go from one event to another, and we just assume, okay, so God didn't give up on him. 40 years later, Moses, come on, baby, come on back, I got your plan, I got something for you. But not only does God do that, God takes those 40 years, and those 40 years are not just wasted. Just because we don't have this account of it in our Bible, you need to know that these 40 years were not wasted, because it's so incredible that God is. Do you know that in those 40 years, when he led the sheep, he led them in the wilderness that he eventually led the people into? That's why I said, pay attention. Where's the burning bush? Mount Sinai. Where are the Ten Commandments given? Mount Sinai. How did Moses know that? Because he'd already been there. The 40 years, he's wandering around out in the wilderness with the sheep going, I guess this is the rest of my life. He is learning every place, every watering hole, every spot to go as God sets him up to lead his people out. So those 40 years weren't wasted. Those 40 years were all 40 years that Moses got to learn in the wilderness. He eventually lead God's people through to get them ready to go into the promised land. See, we just miss that. We fly through it so fast, we forget that the burning bush is at the same place as Sinai. It's at Sinai, the same place as the Ten Commandments, because God just has him in that entire area. So he knows that entire area. So he's not going out going, well, I don't know where on earth we're going to go next. No, he knows the whole area. And God takes those 40 years that would otherwise be wasted because I just took care of sheep. How's that going to become useful? In the wilderness that he eventually helped God's people manage and go through. See, that's how incredible God is. This is why you should consider becoming a Christian. Just got, you're interested, you're thinking about it. You're kind of on the line, you're kind of playing the game. And, well, I come to church and I look good. And this is why. Because this is what God does. God does amazing things like this. That the things that we're holding on to that are holding us back. And it doesn't matter how long we hold on to them. That God can take this time and give it value. See, we call this wasted. Oh my goodness, I waste all this time. I'm so stupid. Why did I do that? And God takes all this time and he does something with it. It's never wasted. It always has a chance to be redeemed. It cannot be redeemed if you're ignoring it. And isn't it true that's so often what we do? If you're ignoring this, and we don't want to talk about it, and I certainly don't want my kids to know what I was like back then, and I don't want them to know the mistakes I made. And so we'll just hide it, and I'll pretend now I got it all together, I'm a good Christian, and that's what I want you to be. Then you do not trust God to redeem this. You don't trust him to redeem this. If you're burying this, hoping it doesn't come up, you don't trust God to redeem this. You don't trust God to take what was worthless to you, what was a mess to you, some of your biggest regrets that you wish you never did, and take them and do something worthy with it and redeem it and use it for your joy and for his glory. God loves to do this. But if we ignore it and we refuse to mention it, we don't give him a chance to use it. See, Moses declaring, I'm here, whatever you want, was the opportunity to take those 40 years and hand them over to God and say, God, I'm sorry, I've wasted 40 years. And God redeems them. He gives what is wasted and worthless. What he does is give it value. And burning the ships opens the door for God redeeming what we have wasted. That's really what it's about. And this is why all of you should be incredibly excited today. Because all the things that you regret, that you hope nobody finds out in church about what happened back then, right? If you would hand this over to your Redeemer, he would do something amazing with it. Because he always does. He always does. I got to listen to a guy's story the other day who lives in town, who's a part of another church. But he was doing this for the past, what did he tell us, 5-6 months he was doing this. And he's going, and so when he finally realized, and he goes, he told us, you know, all along I knew I'm doing this. I knew I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. And so he was in a situation where he was making a bad choice relationship-wise. And he knew it. He was doing it anyway. Okay, that's what he said. I was just doing it anyway, and I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I did it anyway. And so, about a month ago, he lets it go, walks away, and then, okay, so what are we going to do about this? And he was telling us a story that the other night, in this men's group he was a part of, he got to watch God redeem it. Because somebody brought up something, he goes, and he said, I'm like, oh, I don't know how this is going to go. He goes, let me tell you about the last 6 months of my life. And he said, he watched as other men went, wow, really? Okay? He just ultimately trusted God to take what could have been worthless, what he could have ignored, what he could have been like, okay, I hope nobody knows in this circle what I've been doing the last 6 months. And he just chose to let God take it and redeem it. So that's what I'm asking today as we finish up. See, we can talk about the things that we're holding on to. And we can talk about the sin, and we can talk about the bad relationships. And, you know, you can ultimately make the choice to let go and move forward. I'm asking this morning, wouldn't you allow God to redeem this? To take this worthless thing that you hope nobody knows and nobody finds out about and actually give it value, to pour into somebody else's life, to help somebody else, to ultimately take a worthless thing and redeem it. God loves to do this. And so I want you to think about this morning. What is it that you're holding on to that's holding you back? What would it look like if you just allowed God to take this and to redeem it? So I'm just going to ask us to bow our heads, close our eyes for a moment. I just want to give you a private moment to think about this. And then I'm going to pray, and we're going to sing this song called Redeemed. Love this song. I just want you to think today, what would it be like if I just allowed God, if I stopped trying to hide what the poor choices I made in my life, the times I've held on to things, and perhaps you still are this morning, this is a great time to let go and move forward. And I would just ask, Father, you would just help us today, that we would be able to see that you can take what is worthless and what we just deem as terrible and redeem it. Would you let God redeem what has happened in your life and all the things you wish didn't happen and didn't take place? Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, you are such a good Father, that you take even the wasted years, the wasted time, the time when we were stupid and foolish and sinning and just being disobedient and ruining our lives. And in you, you can take those and redeem them for our joy, for your glory. It's amazing that you would do that, that you would give what is worthless value. But Father, I had to imagine Moses thought 40 years were wasted. And yet you redeemed 40 years and used them to lead your people through the wilderness to the promised land, where Joshua gets to take them in. You redeemed all that. You didn't do it just for Moses. You redeemed a man by the name of Saul, who we know as Paul. And I'm certain, Father, we have heard stories where you have done it in the lives of people that we know and people that we heard. Do we trust you to do it with our own? So, Father, I'm asking today we would surrender. We'd stop ignoring and stop trying to bury what has happened and just ask you and to redeem it. And so, Father, as we get ready to sing this song, I pray we just reinforce everything today, that we would allow you to redeem all the brokenness and worthless things in our life and give them great value and use them in such a powerful way. We ask.